This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Ella Joyce Stewart grew up in rural North Carolina as the daughter of sharecroppers. She spent her childhood observing the family's troubles with segregation. Her brother's frustration and his anger at not being able to vote fueled Ella's creative process. She used the stories of her youth to recreate her family's life on stage. Her play, When I Leave, is showing it Friday at the North Carolina Museum of History in Raleigh. The play centers on Ella's older brother, TJ, and his relationship with his mother. Today, Ella joins us to talk about her play, and also joining us are performers Jimmy Woods, who plays TJ, and Cassandra Lyons Johnson, who plays Ella's mother. I want to welcome all of you to the program. Good to have you here.
Yes, good afternoon.
EJ, the play is based on a true story about your family. Tell us what it was like growing up as the daughter of sharecroppers. 1950s, was it?
1950s, the play is actually 1957, an incident that happened that I never forgot. But we were sharecroppers. There were 10 of us, and there were 12, Mom and Daddy. And we lived in from Horney County, Johnson County, Lenoir County, Craven County, Wake County, Onslow County. So if you know what sharecroppers are, you'll realize our lives were sort of like migrant farmers, only we stayed the whole season.
Tell us about that incident.
Well, the incident is the base of the play, so I can't tell so much about it. I can tell you this. His reaction to something that happened was my first look at race relations, you might say, because we were farmers and we rarely ever got into town wherever we were staying. So I didn't see the signs, the black-only, white-only signs in the early 50s. I didn't really feel the total impact as a child because we went to a segregated school, so all my teachers were black, all my classmates were black. We stayed in one place where a school was a half a mile away, a big, nice brick school the white kids could go to. But we had to go about 10 miles, so we were bused long before the issue of busing to go to a wooden school. So I didn't really understand the difference in race and the whole dynamic.
Why was TJ's story different, or how was it different?
It's different because I think he was more sensitive. He was the oldest son home. He had a lot of responsibilities in terms of helping my father. So he mingled more with white folks. I mean, he would go with my father when he went to negotiate farms, and he saw the way blacks were treated. One of the things that hurt him a lot, and my father was almost a militant in his own self, but that's another story for another time. And I remember him saying that, yeah, it don't matter how old Daddy was, you know, their little boys and girls, if they 5, 6 years old, you know, you had to say Mr. and Mrs. to them. And so he saw more.
Well, I wonder if I can get
him more.
Jimmy and Cassandra to do a scene for us now. Would you do a scene?
Okay. This scene is pretty much at the height of TJ's frustration, and he's discussing it kind of finally with his mom.
They burned down the school before they let us play in their stinking school. Acting like we the ones who stink. Man, players at our schools better than our white players. But nobody here want nobody that look like me.
Come on, baby. It'll be all right.
No, it's not, Mama. It's never gonna be all right.
TJ, look at me. I understand how you feel.
Mama, why everybody laughing? Why everybody laughing because he lost?
They don't know any better.
What's wrong with us, Mama? What's wrong with us?
I promise you, TJ, just a few more months to graduation. I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry. I didn't see what this life was doing to you before. But I see it now. You don't have to hurt like this anymore.
White folks hate him. They call him names and spit on him just because he looked like us. But we rooting for the ones that look like the ones spinning and rooting for him.
I've been saving a few pennies here and there. I'll get the rest. It'll be enough for you to get on a bus and ride out of here. Just 2 more months till graduation.
Cassandra Lyons Johnson and Jimmy Woods doing a scene from the play When I Leave that premieres Friday at the North Carolina Museum of History.
Ooh.
A powerful scene, EJ. And, you know, one of the moments that really struck me was when TJ says, "What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us?" And you can hear the internalization process. I mean, you get a full face view of what it's like to begin to internalize the insult and the degradation.
How could you not? How could you not? And that's why I said that I didn't know it or feel it so much, but that him crying and him saying those words pretty much just touched my heart. I was like a preteen, maybe 12, 13, and I just never got over just how hurt he was. And he was, I was telling him not to cry, and he said, "I'm not crying, girl." And it's hard to imagine that way of life, you know, when I'm so proud of Jimmy, especially TJ, young man playing TJ, especially because he's generations removed from there. And unfortunately, sometimes our families, all families, don't talk about the history, so they can't see and they can't feel the passion and the differences. And he just enveloped this character. It's like he's TJ. Even now, as I was listening to that scene, it almost brought tears to my eyes because he feels it.
Well, let me ask Jimmy. Let me ask Jimmy Woods. Let me ask Jimmy Woods about that, because you clearly are younger. I'm guessing you did not go to a legally segregated school. What is it? Is there anything in your family background? How do you relate to this character?
Well, the way I relate is that TJ is very rebellious, and you know, growing up, I grew up. My parents were, you know, very hard on me, and at times I was really rebellious myself. And there were times in which I, you know, didn't believe that was fair enough. And throughout the play, my relationship with my daddy is not as great as better as with my mom. And a lot of times I feel that my dad brings me down as a son, as a man. And through my relationship with my parents growing up, myself, you know, I was closer to my mom than my dad.
And what about race relations, though? Again, not living through precisely this kind of legal segregation. You know, are there stories in your family that you relate to? And certainly, it's not as though you haven't encountered racism.
Well, when I look at it today, growing up, I went to Hillside High School in Durham, North Carolina, and that school by itself has over 90% ratio of African Americans. And so, growing up, and just thinking about, you know, back then how schools were segregated, you get a great feel of, you know, what you assume might have happened or how things were in perspective. And when you talk about the 50s, you know, you're thinking about, you know, the Brown versus Education case. You're thinking about, you know, Theodore Roosevelt in office in 1955, and Rosa Parks was on a bus for the boycott. So you just get a great feel, and you relate that to today, and you see some, you know, actions as far as, you know, civil rights and, you know, people still fighting for, you know, right. The cause.
EJ, tell us about the title, When I Leave.
When I Leave, but before I tell you about that, I want to make a speak to what you said when you're talking to Jimmy. You said, surely you haven't encountered racism. It's everywhere. It's, it's not gone. It's better.
Well, I do, and I said, certainly you have encountered, but go ahead.
Oh, you say you have.
I said, certainly you have encountered, but not legal segregation.
Oh, not legal. Okay.
Yeah, that's the only distinction.
Okay, because it's easy enough to see even today. But the title I wrote because it's the realization of something that his mother faced, that she had to protect her son by helping him to leave, because she realized that even though he was very sensitive and tender and they had a wonderful relationship, that all of this depression and segregation, what it had done to him. So I just entitled it for what she said to him, you know, you got to get out of here, and when you leave. So I just left that title instead of trying to find, you know, some fancy title. I just used her words.
And what tell us about your brother and what did happen when he left?
Well, he left. He actually didn't leave that year. My father got sick, and he stayed another couple of years. He finished school and all of that, and he moved to Baltimore. He worked as a carpenter, and he passed October of 2010, And I went up to his memorial, me and my brothers and sisters. And he used to come home, and there's another play that I wrote that's based on his first time coming home called Christmas in a Shoebox. And that's really my favorite play because it talks about my mother's baking his favorite cake every year. And then this year that he surprised her and came home at Christmas, and that's very dynamic at the end. So he shows up in a lot of the stories because of his personality and how he helped take care of us and how he was such a help to Daddy and how Mama made that decision that he had to go. But he didn't come back to the South that often.
Yeah.
That kind, and that's not that unusual. I know people who wouldn't come back for the parents. You know, that ingrained racism just really destroyed. It really was very, very, very destroying, for lack of a better word, of character and of hope. So he came back to visit occasionally, but he never did come back. And there was a long time that Mama hoped that he would move back, but he told her when he came and when he would come home, "I can't do this, Mama." You know, he always called her his best girl. So
when did you
had his life in Baltimore.
Yeah. When did you decide to become a writer?
That was, I don't know, 25 years ago, mm-hmm. a couple of Queens College. I wrote, had something published in that literary journal. And the teachers, some teachers then said that I need to be a playwright because of my ability to write dialogue, but it took a lifetime for me to see it. So I wrote short stories.
You're a founding member of the North Carolina Association of Black Storytellers.
Yes.
Tell us how that came to be.
Down in New Orleans with another storyteller, Pat and John Stepney of Winston-Salem, we were celebrating, I think it was in the 8th, National Storytelling Festival, and she was saying, you know, we need to start our own organization. So it would be a next year before we actually form an ad hoc committee.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started writing bylaws, and we became an affiliate of the National.
Does storytelling, when you talked about having to evolve as a playwright, somebody saw the talent in you early. It took you time to figure it out. Did storytelling help you with that?
Yes. My father was a great storyteller. This play, so many of my stories focus on my father, but this play doesn't really focus on him. It shows a sort of a different side of him. But he was a great storyteller, the youngest of 20 kids. So he had loads of stories of great family reunion, man. And so I always love stories and new stories. My mother's was a great letter writer. Everybody who left home, she wrote wonderful letters. And one of my sisters have hundreds of her letters that she saved over the years. So the answer to your question about stories, yes, because that's what all literary art starts with, the written word.
Did you start when you went to write this play? Did you do it strictly from memory, or did you go back to those letters? Did you talk to other people?
No. I just took the incident and wrote around it. I mean, it wasn't like verbatim. I mean, I remember the incident, and it's still very clear in my mind. I still remember his reaction and everything, and I just wrote it around it. But I have to give a Burning Cold Theater some credit because I took a workshop, a playwright workshop. It's not my first play, and not the first one that's been produced and all of that, but I had never taken a technical class. And in that class, we had to present a work, and I had just been to my brother's memorial. And I decided to finally do something with that memory, because I actually used to tell this story as a short story, about a five-minute story, about how he got angry and his reaction to a certain event that made me sort of start looking at race and realizing the differences and the internal African sort of pride that one should have with themselves. All of that came to me really from this incident.
Did you start to see some of the mechanisms, just some of the ways in which family tries to fill in to keep that wound from going from one generation to another, the way everybody
recognizes
that?
Wow, that's a serious question.
Yeah.
Also, ask Cassandra and Jimmy that question. Maybe they could answer that.
Well, let me ask you, Cassandra.
I'm doing a lot of talking.
Well, now that you've gotten your cough drop, because I know you had
because the written word is one thing. All literary art starts with the words. If you don't have if somebody don't tell the story and write it down, then it's, you know, right. You can't develop any form of literary. But it's something else to have somebody with the ability to take those written words, like Jim and Cassandra and the rest of the staff, and bring them to life. That's a great art.
What happens to you, Cassandra, just in terms of your personal experience, when you take on a role like this? How does this reflect against your personal experience?
Well, excuse me. When I was born, I didn't witness as much of the disparity. I'm from Durham, also graduated from Hillside. I remember different things like riding on the back of the bus and standing to eat in the Woolworth store. So I just remember some of the instances that my mother talked about. She was from Wake Forest, North Carolina. So they walked to Durham. My grandfather had to flee and those kinds of things. So like Ms. Stewart says, we have to repeat those stories to our families, not to keep it going, but only to have them to recognize where they've come from. So in doing this place, I pulled on a lot of that, just knowing what a mother would feel like having to tell her son he literally has to leave home to stay alive.
To stay alive. I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. Ella Joy Stewart is the playwright, storyteller, historian, and founding member of the North Carolina Association of Black Storytellers. Cassandra Lyons Johnson and Jimmy Woods are stars of the play When I Leave, based on EJ's life and her brother TJ. It premieres Friday, 7 o'clock, North Carolina Museum of History. You can get more information at www.ncmuseumofhistory.org. Thank you for being on the program.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio.